get that good report. Let me have you go to Isaiah chapter 26. I want to just begin by, we're going to get into our Bible study this morning. We're going to go over, I gave you this material, and I want to kind of go through and take a look at this matter of meditation. It's step number 6, and we're going to spend a little bit of time on it. Step number 6 in studying the Bible, learning to study the Bible. Meditation is a huge, huge, huge part of studying the Word of God. And it does a lot of other things in our lives that I think we can rejoice in. But look at Isaiah 26, verse 3, and we'll just use this verse as some encouragement and maybe some motivation for us to then, after we've studied what the Bible has to say on meditation, to begin to practice it. Notice Isaiah 26, 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, isn't that interesting? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. And here's the key phrase. Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And I think one of the things that meditation does, Bible meditation, is it enables us and causes us to stay our mind on the Lord. And if you do that, you know, I had to laugh this morning. I was finishing up typing out some of this that I'm going to pass out to you, kind of a breakdown of Bible study on meditation. And then at the end of it, I had done most of it, but I wanted to put in at the end of it some summary Bible principles, so I added them this morning. And then I hit spell check, you know. Thank God for spell check. Isn't spell check a wonderful thing? When I was in elementary, I had several people that were responsible for spell check in my life, and most of my papers came back looking like someone bled all over them. They had so much red circles on them, but thank God for spell check. Now, it doesn't always work as much as we'd like, or sometimes it misses something, but here's what I wanted to share with you. I'm getting to it. Two different times I got in a hurry, and when I was typing out meditation, I actually spelled medication. And one time when I typed out meditating, it came out medicating. And it caught this thing, and then I thought to myself, you know, it was kind of good, because after you study all of this, what you realize is if we would meditate, we probably wouldn't have to medicate. I mean, I promise you, when you read this and when you study this, and if you've gotten involved in doing it, remember this piece of paper? You know, some of you took home and threw on the dresser and you haven't picked it up since? That's all right. God bless you. But I'm going to tell you something. I'll give you all the stuff that you would have found anyway, but it's never going to mean as much in your heart until you do the work. It will never fasten to your heart until you do the work and convince yourself. Through flipping the pages and looking at the verses. You know, these can be my truths or they can be your truths. And that's something that study does. People that study the Bible and people that really get into the Word of God, you know what, they don't come to church. When they leave church, they don't say, Pastor Gary thinks this, Pastor Gary teaches this, Pastor Gary believes this. You know what they do? They say, you know what, the Bible teaches this, the Bible believes this. You know, I believe this because of the Bible, and I know that that's what it says. I want to encourage you to study the Bible, okay? If you've done as I've asked you to do, you've taken the last 2 weeks, and all the things that you needed to do, what I did here, was handed to you. I mean, everything on here, you had the same material, you used the same resources. There's not some magical preacher book that I have in my office that had all of this already in it. This isn't taken from somebody else's study. So many times when I've produced things and organized them, typed them out, passed them out, people want to say, where'd you get that? Where do you get this stuff? Well, it's called the Bible. Honestly. Yeah, I mean, books are great. I've written some of them, but you know what, folks, if all you ever do is read what somebody else studied and you never study it yourself, again, you're going to be tempted to say, well, I read in this book and they believe, instead of I read in the book and now I know. And so the Bible study on on meditation, and we're going to go through that today. So what I gave you was a page copied out of the concordance where you could have taken and looked up the verses on meditation. I went ahead and printed out those verses for you, but not in context. I pray that you took the time to look at the context. And then we copied from the back of your Strong Concordance a page of the Hebrew and Chaldee dictionary, two pages of it, and two pages of your Greek dictionary so that you'd be able to see and find out the definition of this word and have that before you. Let me get a couple of guys, if you will, and I'm going to go ahead and pass this out. If you went ahead and did these things, and then you took a notebook, and you took notes, and you wrote out what the Bible says about each of these verses, you're going to come up basically with what I came up with here. You may have organized it a little differently, but I want to give you this because I want you to see how to organize. Remember, the Bible talks about rightly dividing the Word of God. It's important that we let the Word of God speak. We let it shine light on itself. We let it show us what it means. And I thought we'd just take this morning and go down through this Bible study on meditation. Meditation. Not medication. Meditation. And, you know, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, that's what's happening. Folks are a mess. Folks are under stress. Everybody's talking about stress. That stress is causing, by the way, it does. Stress is causing physical problems. Stress is causing people hospital bills and doctor visits. Can I ask you a question, child of God? Why are you stressing? Why are you stressing? Well, you know what? I got all these things going on. Why are you stressing? Okay, let me help you. This study wasn't just a assignment. I promise you this. If you will observe to do, and that's what we're going to do, observe to do. If you begin to incorporate these Bible principles in your life, I'm not using this phrase flippantly. This Bible study can change your life. Change your life. Change your outlook. Change the way you view things, look at things. I better get to it because you're all reading it anyway, right? All right. Look at this, if you will. Bible study on meditation. Defining meditate or meditation. Number one is Hebrew definition. Number two is the second Hebrew word that's used. Number three is the New Testament word that's used. There's another New Testament word found in Luke. I explained that to you last week, that was a word that's talking about premeditate or to meditate beforehand. And so I've left that out. If you've got that included, that's fine. But I want you to get a handle on what this word means, meditate or meditation. Let's look at it again. Number one, to murmur. By implication, to ponder, imagine, meditate, mourn, mutter, roar, soar, speak, study, talk, utter. Number two, to ponder, converse with oneself and hence aloud, or utter, commune, complain, declare, meditate, muse, praise, speak, talk with. And it says from 3191, to take care of, resolve in the mind, imagine, premeditate, or meditate. And we're talking about an exercise, exercising, taking the Bible principles, taking the truth of God's Word, and exercising them with your mind, thinking about them, pondering them, using them. Now remember, you're in joint effort doing this with the Holy Spirit of God. This is what's exciting. Watch this. Let me tell you the difference between having daily devotions and walking with God in a nutshell. Let me just tell you that. You can have daily devotions or you can learn to walk with God. Daily devotions is an assignment that you do in the morning and you shut your Bible and you put your prayer list back in it and you leave the rest of the day and your mind is on everything but God. Or daily devotions can be an opening of the conversation that you have with God, between you and God, for the entire day. And most of that exercise is taking some of what you studied, some of what you learned in your daily devotions and deciding you are going to meditate on those truths throughout the day. You're going to You're going to think about them. You're going to ponder them. You're going to discuss them with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just give you this. We're going to get ahead of ourselves a little bit. But you better decide what your brain's going to do. You know, some of you are wearing yourself sick. You're depressed most of the time. I'm not picking on, not making light of you, but you know what? You don't have to be that way. Oh, I can't help it. That's baloney. That's baloney. Somebody said something last week, and you fretted about it all week. Why? Where in the Bible does the Bible tell you to meditate on that? I mean, I can help you. Where's your mind been this week? Have you obeyed the Bible? Now, you've got to take charge of what goes on between your ears. Because whatever's going on between your ears is affecting how you feel. It's affecting your outlook on life. It's affecting what you talk about. It's affecting how you behave. It affects everything. And I'm sorry. I'm taking your excuses away. I'm so sick and tired. But I can't help it. What do you mean you can't help it? Whatever happened to Philippians 4:13? What happened to Philippians 4:13? Oh, that didn't mean you. No, you can live whatever life you want to live. You can feel how you want to feel. Or you can just determine not to. I'm telling you, we're hitting on something here. Would to God we had a group of Christians. Right here, look at this room. This many Christians that every day would open the Bible and say, I'm going to read the Bible for a while, and I'm going to study the Bible, I'm going to take those precepts and truths, and I'm going to meditate, and I'm going to observe to do, and I'm going to think about it. You know, here's the thing, folks. I didn't take you that scripture this morning, but the Bible says in Galatians that to be spiritually minded is life, but to be carnally minded is death. And some of you are living dead. Because your mind only focuses on carnal things. And you're a dead man living. You may be saved, but you're a dead man living. When I think carnally, all I do is I kill that part of my life. I kill that part of the day. I kill it. But if I'm spiritually minded, then you know what? It's life to me and life to others. And so I'm passionate about this. Do you sense it? You know why I'm passionate about it? Because I've studied it. Because I've become convinced of it. Because I've given myself as Timothy was instructed. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. You grab a hold of some of these truths and just sell out to them, and it will absolutely change the type of person you are from the inside out. Let's get into it, all right? Bible principles concerning meditating. One of the things you'll find as you study the Bible is that real quickly you'll see when you're asking the what question, what am I to meditate on, you find out that the Bible points you to three things that you're supposed to spend your thinking time on, meditation time on. The person of God, this is very important. As you're reading your Bible, if you understand this, every time you come upon an attribute of God, a character trait of God, you'll make note of that because we need to think on God. You say, well, Brother Jerry, the Bible says His ways are so far above our ways and His thoughts so far above our thoughts. Yeah, you're exactly right. You're never going to comprehend God, but you're still supposed to meditate on Him. Remember when Oprah was on? We showed that little clip. And she said, I was reading through and I was sitting in church and all of a sudden the preacher said, God is a jealous God. And I said, you know what? That doesn't fit into what I know of God. Well, you know what? Sorry. Gee, that's just too bad that God didn't measure up to your preconceived ideas. You ever thought about that? You ever meditated on that? You know why He said that? You know what He meant by that? See, the more you understand God and the character of God, the more you're going to understand who He is, what He's like, what He does. This prefabbed image of God that we're given that doesn't want to include all of His character traits. You find out God's a very balanced God. He has, with every corresponding what we might call a positive trait, I don't think that the other trait is a negative, but there's a balancing trait. You know, God's a God of justice, but God's a God of mercy. God's a God of love, but God's a God of yes, He is. Every time you come across something in the Scriptures as you're going through your daily reading that talks about the character of God and who God is, See, I'm not blown away by what so many Christians are blown away by because I understand the character of God. Well, why would God? I can't believe God. You don't understand Him. That's why you walk around. You never meditated on Him. You've never worked your mind over Him. Study the Scriptures. Remember when we talked about the names of God? Just learn His names. And then study His character. And meditate on God. Now, I'm talking about when you're stuck in the shopping line at Walmart. You know, the one that has 67 cash registers and only two of them's open. You know, why did they even put all of them in? I really don't understand that. But, you know, what are you doing? When you're at the stoplight, what are you doing? What are you thinking about? Well, whatever I see a billboard about, God bless you. God help you. Well, I'll just turn the radio on and whatever it talks about, that's what I'll think about. God help you. Well, whoever said something mean to me last Sunday, I'm still thinking about that. What? What? Excuse me? You really want to live that way? Come on. You can decide that you're going to meditate on the person of God. This is what Psalm 65, 5 and 6, my soul shall be satisfied. Notice this, folks. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. He's talking about health and prosperity here. Marrow is the part of your body that sustains and keeps you healthy. Fatness, in this generation of culture, we think is a weakness. Back then, it was a sign of prosperity. Amen. I'm getting more prosperous all the time. Brother Tom's lost a lot of prosperity. I'm a little worried about him lately. But he's not near as prosperous as he used to be. But, you know, honestly, I mean, you know, I helped Gerald clean his deer the other day, and I'm sorry, this is kind of gross. But we were field dressing it, and then okay, I'll be a little careful here. I'm thinking how much some of you can take. But we opened it up and took out what needed to be taken out, and I was showing him. I said, man, look at this inside layer of fat. I said, but I'm going to tell you what. You know what? That's a healthy deer. That's a healthy deer that's ready. It's probably going to make it through the wintertime. Well, it would have. Gerald hadn't killed it. Now he says, my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watch. See, folks, it affects you. It affects you physically. It affects you spiritually. It affects your soul. It affects what comes out of your mouth. What you think about is what you're going to talk about. So, and notice what he said, though. When I remember thee, the person of God, Psalm 104, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of who? Him shall be sweet. So, the person of God. Number two, the works of God. I will remember the works of the Lord. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doing. Psalm 143:5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. So, three things I'm supposed to meditate. Number one, I spend time thinking about the person of God, trying to understand Him, thinking about His attributes. Every time I read something, adding that to the equation. Who is God? What's He truly like? What's the Bible say about it? What's His names mean? What's His attributes? And then I study His works and I meditate on His works. I have a whole listing, a whole history of His works in this book here that I can meditate on. But also, I can meditate on the works of God that I've seen with my own eyes in my own life. And think about how God's worked and think about those things. And you know what? What you find is the character of God matches the works of God. And they intertwine. And then the last thing is the Word of God. And of all of the things we are commanded to meditate on more times than the person of God and the works of God, we are commanded to meditate on the Word of God. Let me say this, but that's for a reason. Because the more you meditate on the Word of God, the more you're going to understand the person of God. The more you meditate on the Word of God, you're going to meditate on the works of God. So all of these things work together. Notice what it says, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. I will meditate in thy precepts. Thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. I will meditate in thy precepts. Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day. Thy testimonies are my meditation. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I may meditate in thy word. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. What were these things? It was the previous instruction in 1 Timothy that Paul gave, which is the Word of God. And so we are commanded to meditate on the person of God, the works of God, and the Word of God. Now, if you get in the habit of doing that, it will help you in your mind. Now, let's move forward. The Bible then teaches us when to meditate. Well, this is so important. How important is this to God? How important is this to our lives? The Bible says we're to meditate day and night. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. In His law doth he meditate day and night. Notice this, 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. I suppose that'd be pretty much all the time. David emphasizes the night watches and the importance of meditating in the night watches. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Notice verse one, Psalm 119:148. He says, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. You know what? He says, sometimes I purposely stay up. Sometimes I purposely stay up at night so that I can... So because it's quiet, because there's no disturbances, because the phone's not ringing and people are for the most part sleeping, and I can hear God, and I can listen to God, and I can think about God, and I'm not interrupted. And then it goes on to say in Psalm 119:97, all the day, how I love thy law, this my meditation all the day. So notice the when is being answered here, day and night. Night watches all the day. This is very important. Let me give you the answer. This will help you. When else are we to meditate? Notice Psalm 119:23 and 119:78. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Now, folks, let me give you a key. Remember when I said a minute ago when I said, you know, somebody says one thing about you, and for a whole week you sit there and you just mull over it, and it just absolutely controls everything you did. You know what David said? David said, a prince, I mean, this is somebody that had some sway, this is someone that had some influence, said something bad about me. So he said, you know what I decided to do? I just meditate on the Bible. You know how you get victory over that junk? Is you don't let it control your mind. You don't let it control your thought pattern. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Notice this, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. Notice this, but I will get bitter and spread lies about them. Get on the phone and talk about to everybody how I was mistreated. Is that what it says? And yet there's Christians that spend hours doing this, spend days doing this. They're tied up in knots over this. Honestly, I guarantee you there's somebody right here in this room, probably several somebodies, that somebody either did something, dealt perversely with you, did something, or said something about you, and it's been a month ago, and it's tore you up for a month. If I lived that way, I'd be tore up all the time. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a martyr, but you know what? You don't have a position of leadership in a church and have everybody all the time patting you on the back and clapping for you. You know what? You don't lead an independent fundamental Baptist church and be the beloved pastor in the community. If I let every time some carnal or lost person took a pot shot at me, if I let it completely control my mind and shut me down, I wouldn't get anything done. By the way, why do I give them that power? Why would I give them that power? I'm not going to give them that power. Now, say, Brother Gary, how does that help? Does it just take my mind off of it? It does more than that. If you'll meditate on the precepts, it's very interesting what it says here. Boy, if you want a whole study, here's a whole other thing. One of these days, and I've done it, and it's time-consuming, but if you take Psalm 119, and you know a little bit about Psalm 119, tell me a little bit about it. It's the shortest or longest? All right. And just about every verse mentions the Word of God, but it mentions it in different ways. Sometimes it's the precepts, sometimes statutes, sometimes it's the testimony, sometimes it's the law. Now, if you would take every one of those things and break them down and separate them, rightly divide the Word of God, and say, okay, what does it say about the statutes? What does it say about the precepts? And by the way, what are those things? How do they differ? You know, those are talking about different parts of the Bible, different portions of the Bible, different things the Bible does. And there's a reason that he said, a prince is also did sit and speak, but I certainly did meditate in thy precepts, in thy statutes. Notice that I will meditate in thy precepts. There's certain principles that if you'll meditate on, you know what? It will diffuse. It will diffuse any bitterness that you have toward that person. It will help you correctly diagnose what was said or what was done and have a Christ mind about it and move on and go forward for the Lord. And so you've got to decide what's going to happen up here. You've got to decide what's going to happen up here. Are you going to obey the Bible? When, Brother Jerry? Day and night. When? In the night watches. You know, I think God put that up there because He knows when we wake up, we tend to worry. When we wake up, we tend to worry. When we wake up, a lot of times what woke us up is something unresolved, something negative. And God says, I don't want you to worry about it. I want you to meditate on Bible principles that will tell you what to do about it. I want you to think about it scripturally. Look, think about it from a God standpoint. Get the Bible thinking into it. Okay? And so God wants you to do that. Day and night, night watches, all the day, and especially, folks, when you are attacked, spoken against, somebody deals perversely with you, you know what? Let your mind go to the Scriptures and go to those precepts and principles that will help you to gain victory. Now, let me go to number three. The Bible teaches us why we should meditate. This is so important. I want you to not confuse. Look at number four down there, the main point, number four. The Bible teaches us why we should meditate. The Bible promises great benefits for meditating. It's very important you don't get those two things confused. The why we meditate is not so we can prosper. The why we meditate is not so we can have good success. That is a byproduct, not the purpose. I'll tell you what, I'm going to meditate because I want to be prosperous. I want to meditate. Now, folks, you're not rightly dividing the Bible. Think about this. The Bible teaches why we should meditate. If you're not careful, what you're going to do in life is this. You know, the Bible tells us to do something, and then it oftentimes, God's good about rewarding us for obedience. But if we're not careful, we begin to obey the Lord for the reward and not obey the Lord for the purpose that He wants us to obey Him. Okay? So let's get this. It's kind of like a bus kid that keeps coming for bus promotion. Pretty soon, you know what? And we want God to give us a candy bar before we do anything for Him. We're supposed to obey Him whether we get rewarded or not. But notice what it says here. The Bible teaches us why we should meditate. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Notice we got the book of the law that tells us what? Thou shalt meditate day and night. It tells us when? Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now that is the purpose of meditation. Let me share this with you. Let me give this to you. Why, Brother Jerry, do we meditate on the Bible? Why do we meditate on the Bible? Because the entire time we're meditating on what God has shared with us that morning through our devotions. Maybe there's a couple verses we didn't understand, so we jot it down on a card and we stick it in our pocket during the day when we've got free think time. We pull it out and we say, Lord, I didn't understand this. Let me meditate on it. Let me think about it. And we begin to do those things. When we do those things, God is going to teach us some things that He wants us to do. Now, what we ought to be doing as we meditate on the Bible is trying to discern what God is teaching and commanding us or instructing us to do. Listen, to just figure out what God says with no intent on doing what He says is pretty worthless. Here's why we meditate. We're to meditate, then we are to do. We're to meditate, then we are to do. Now, let me tell you how this works. I'm going to tell you how this works. You're going to seek a truth and seek to understand a truth. And so you're going to read it, you're going to study it, you're going to meditate it, you're going to ask the Holy Spirit for help, and then God is going to reveal that truth to you. That truth is going to involve you doing something or changing something in your life. Now, God gave you that truth. He revealed it to you. Now, He's going to then want you to do it. Now, once you study it, understand it, meditate, have it revealed to you, and you know what the Bible says about that area, if you don't do it, this is what too many people want to do. They want to figure out what the Bible says so that they have a head knowledge, and then they have that responsibility in their hand, but they don't want to do it, and then they want to go back to the Bible and study some more. What you're going to find out is this. God is going to continue to reveal truth to you as He sees you implement that truth into your life. And here's a statement that I've got in my book. Very, very important. Remember this. God is not impressed with how much Bible you know. He is impressed only by how much Bible you obey. God is not impressed by how much Bible you know. He's only impressed by how much Bible you obey. So what happens, why is there a bunch of deadhead, mixed up, carnal, backslidden theologians stuck in Christian universities all over America? They spend all their time in there in a monk-like atmosphere digging out truths, but they won't walk across the street and give a gospel tract to somebody. They won't help a poor person that's down the road. They want to walk around and talk about how much they know. This is what was the problem with the Pharisees. This is what happened. Was the problem in Jesus' day. All this knowledge. But you know what? He said, listen, you listen to what they teach and do what they teach, but don't do as they do. You know why? They knew it up here, but they wouldn't put it into their lives. And pretty soon, folks, that starts making you jaded. God wants you to learn the Bible so that you can obey the Bible. That's the purpose of it. Why am I meditating on this? I'm meditating on this subject. Why study on meditation if you have no intent to ever meditate? Why put the time in what we just do if you're not going to let these truths change your life? If you're going to spend tomorrow listening to the same dumb radio, thinking the same bitter thoughts, letting your mind wander as it always has, you're not going to leave the house having read your Bible with something to meditate on, then you know what you've done. You've dug and you've got and you were handed truth, and now you're going to do nothing about it. And because of that, you're not going to change. You're not going to be transformed. I believe the Bible is a transforming book, a life-changing book. 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. He said, just don't meditate, but then take those truths that God reveals to you and wholly discipline yourself to put them into your lives. We are to meditate and to give ourselves fully to the truth God reveals through His Word. So the why is not so that we can prosper. The why is not the carrot. The why is not the motivation. The why is not the reward. The why is so that we can be obedient Christians. Now you think about what it says in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. God didn't promise prosperity and success to someone who studies the Bible or learns the Bible. He only promises it to those that study the Bible, learn the Bible, and then obey the Bible. So this is important. Now, they're connected. You realize that following Bible principles will lead to prosperity, will lead to success. Don't misinterpret the word prosperity. We're so materialistic we can't think of anything. Can't think of the word prosperity without thinking of cha-ching. How big our house is, what kind of car we drive. I'm talking about prosper. I'm talking about everything that you touch that you're trying to do for the Lord, God prospers it, He blesses it. He prospers your marriage. He prospers your family. He prospers the ministry you're involved in. He prospers your bus route. He prospers your Sunday school class. You see. So what God's saying here is, listen, I've given you a book. I want you to meditate in there. I want you to get in the habit of doing it all the time, day and night. Then as I teach you things, I want you to then begin to implement those things into your life. And as you do that, you're going to find out the Bible works. The Bible works. Okay? So far, so good? Now, let me give you some of this. This is good. The Bible promises us great benefits from meditating. And I think, again, God offers some carrots. Here's the Bible formula that's repeated over and over. Meditate, do, and prosper. You meditate, then you do what it says, then you prosper. Joshua 1:8 we just looked at. 1 Timothy 4:15 we just looked at. That we may prosper and be successful. Look, if you will, number 3. That we might, I love this verse. I love this promise. That we might be spiritually strong, fruitful, healthy, and prosperous. You think about this. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and His law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be, who? The one who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. He's going to be like what? A tree planted by the rivers of water? He's talking about being strong. You talk about, listen, if you want a tree to cross, I planted several trees on my property. There's on my property, there is an old, it's not a well, what do they call it? What is it? Cistern. There's an old cistern by our driveway. It stays wet there almost all the time. I planted a tree right beside that. I planted a tree other places. That tree that's planted by that cistern is three times the size of every other tree in my yard. Now you plant yourself in this book, and you're going to grow faster and stronger than anybody else around you. You are. Okay? Notice this. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. You're going to be fruitful. Notice this. His leaf also shall not wither. You're going to be healthy. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You're going to be prosperous. You're going to be successful in what God calls you to do. Now, can I just be very, very, very honest? And Dad, if I'm wrong, tell me. But I'm looking at the 2008 brand of Christian. You know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing weak, unfruitful, unhealthy failures. I'm seeing churches that are weak, unhealthy, unfruitful, and failing. Now, what's wrong? What's wrong? I don't think it's the book. I don't think this formula doesn't work. I don't think that we control what goes on up here. We won't obey the Bible when it says what to think about, what to meditate on, what to do when it comes to the Scriptures. And, you know, you think about these things. Man, if somebody would sell you, and this is how people have made good night, the money that's been made on, you know, how-to and success books has been incredible in our day and age. Just go to the average bookstore and they've got a huge section on, you know what, if you'll do these 10 steps, 8 steps, 5 steps, 12 steps, 15 steps, you're going to be happy and prosperous and successful. And yet God gives these steps and nobody believes them. We'll spend hundreds of dollars on books and we won't read Psalm chapter 1 and really implement it into our lives. Spiritually strong, fruitful, healthy, prosperous. That's what God says. And all we're asked to do is delight in the Bible and meditate therein day and night. Now, let me quickly get on here. Notice another benefit, that we may have understanding. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I have more understanding than all my teachers. You know, we laugh about that verse, but you show me, I guarantee you, you give me a 16-year-old kid that gets this and does it for a couple years, and he'll outdistance most Christians that have been saved that's in their 40s and 50s. Sorry. It's not always age that increases wisdom. It's obedience that increases wisdom. We laugh about that, but that's the honest truth. You know why? Because most people don't do this. I'm talking to you. If you're in your 20s, you're in your 30s, you're in your 40s, and you want to just, you know what? And this sounds, why don't you just say, I'm going to implement these things in my life and change what you do up here day in and day out and focus on God, on His works, on His Word. Study the Bible, read the Bible, meditate on the precepts. Every time God teaches you something, implement it into your life, begin to do it, and you will outdistance your teachers. Amen. Notice this, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Okay, understanding. Notice, let me give you number 5 and then we may have to end here. We probably will. I wanted to get to this one. Notice this. Don't forget Psalm 1 also has the first verse. Remember Psalm 2 starts out with, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. You know why? And I'll give this to you, and you can meditate on it. Then we'll talk about it next week. But let me tell you why. What I said a minute ago, and I'm not picking on anybody. You're going to have to ask God, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me. that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And you're going to evaluate what you're thinking about and what your the words that come out of your mouth and the meditations of your heart are intricately linked. And you're going to have to decide whether or not you're doing this or not. But if you are not, then you are probably spiritually weak, unfruitful, unhealthy, and failing. If you're doing this, you're probably spiritually strong, fruitful, healthy, and prosperous. Now let me tell you why people are weak. Give me your ear. I got 60 seconds. Why they're weak, unfruitful, unhealthy, and prosperous. Let me tell you why. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Where are you getting your counsel? Who do you listen to? You are going to ungodly people and listening to what they say, and then you meditate on that instead of the Word of God. If you are constantly influenced by ungodly people, ungodly opinion, unscriptural opinion, hypocrites, Pharisees that always got something to say, but it's not biblical, and you allow yourself or your children or your wife to be under that influence all the time, then you wonder why they're spiritually a mess. There are some things you need to sever in your life, some relationships you need to sever in your life, some places you need to stop going, some people you need to get off the phone, some websites you need to get off. People are in this state because they're listening to ungodly counsel. Number two, blessed is the man that walketh not in the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Ungodly counsel will get you involved in ungodly acts. And next thing you know, you're doing things you shouldn't do, and you know what? Then you've got to deal with the guilt of that all the time. So you're filled with ungodly counsel, and you're begin to do ungodly things, and then you feel the guilt of that all the time, so you're bound by guilt on that. And then notice this. It says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Let me tell you what the next step is. You start listening to ungodly counsel, and then you start doing ungodly things, and then you know what you'll do? You'll start scorning people that aren't doing what you're doing. And I'm going to have to sit down and teach on this again. But folks, if you have a scorner in your home, if you have a scorner as a friend, they're going to turn you into a scorner. They're going to turn you into a scorner. One of the best pieces of advice I can give you as a Christian is stop hanging around people that badmouth Pastor Jerry Ross and Blessed Hope Baptist Church. If it's one of your kids, you tell them, shut your mouth or pack your bags. Because that is going to have effect on you. I'm sorry. If it's your mother, it's your sister, it's your brother, you say, you know what, I love you, I want to spend time with you, but that subject's off limits. I can't help you if you're letting somebody else destroy in your heart your trust in your church or your pastor. I can't help you. Why are you hanging around scorners? Why don't you put their life under the microscope? I mean, they're so holy. Why don't you put their life under the microscope? They want to talk about what we are or aren't. Why don't you put their life under the microscope? Come on. That's exactly what happened. You start listening to ungodly counsel, and that fills your mind. You get involved in ungodly acts, then guilt fills your mind. Next thing you know, you become a professional scorner. And all you do is shoot at people and shoot down people that are doing right, trying to do right, and trying to stand for the right things. And you know what? If you do that, fine. But I promise you, you're spiritually weak. You're like a tree planted in the desert. Your leaves are withered. You're spiritually unhealthy. You haven't borne fruit. And you know what? Everything you've tried to do, it seems like it's just afflicted and tainted with the judgment of God. Now, if you want to live that way, hey, have at it. But what I'm doing and what I want you to do is study the Bible. Say, you know what? There's a better way to live. I'm going to begin to delight in the law of the Lord. I'm going to begin to meditate therein day and night because I want to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, Lord, to use good discernment. Lord, so many times we allow Satan or somebody that's being satanically controlled to poison our mind and poison our life to the point where we are being destroyed spiritually, and the whole time we think it's everybody's fault except the person that's doing it. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to get our minds straight so that our mouths, Lord, will, our words will be right, our life will be right. Help us to meditate, to think on the right things. Lord, I pray this just wouldn't be another Bible study. We'd take these truths and bind them to our heart and begin to do them as of today, Lord. First thing tomorrow, open the Bible, begin to study, begin to take notes, begin to seek precepts, begin to ask the Holy Spirit to take the Scriptures and take them with us throughout the day and think about them and develop in our mind. And Lord, as you teach us to do and implement things into our lives, I pray that we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.